Good. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out with us tonight. It's always encouraging to come here to be with other Christians and to be able to worship our God and Father in heaven. What an encouragement that you are for each one of us. I appreciate you being here. I have to say, every time I put this on, I remember Whit Hayes. I don't remember how many years ago it was. 10 years? 12 years ago? Whit put this on and he got up here and Whit said, "I always wanted to be a Backstreet Boy." So it reminds me of that. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. I've just got a few thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. Some things that I've thought about over the years and things that I've put together. And we'll begin with in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 41, the story of Joseph. Is everything will work? And I can read that. Yes, it works. So we talk about Joseph during the time that he was in Egypt. Okay, we know, most of us know the story of Joseph and how he was sold into slavery, and then he wound up in Egypt, and through a series of events, he found himself in prison in Egypt. And while he was in Egypt, he had interpreted some prayers of the baker and the butler. And as time went on, Pharaoh had a dream. You might remember Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh's dream was about these seven fat cows that came up out of the river, and then seven skinny cows, scrawny cows that came up after them. Pharaoh even said they were so skinny, I'd never seen anything like that in all of Egypt. Okay, and so they were there for a little while, and then the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and the skinny cows were still skinny. And he said also there came up this wheat, and on a stalk of wheat, and there were these fat, beautiful stalks of wheat. And then there were skinny, scrawny stalks of wheat, and the small stalks of wheat ate the big stalks of wheat, and they were still small. Put yourself in position. If you had that dream, would you wake up curious about it? Yeah. All right, so he was curious, and he was trying to, and he asked his magicians, and he asked his wise men to come in and to talk to him and tell him what the meaning of those dreams were, interpret the dreams for, and they couldn't do it. And the butler heard about it. And the butler remembered what had happened when he was in prison with Joseph. And he said, "I got a guy. I know who can help you with this." And he went and told Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph came up, interpreted the dream. And as a result of the dream, or in the result of interpreting that dream, Pharaoh made Joseph second in command in all of Egypt. Right? What was the interpretation of the dream? The interpretation of the dream was there were going to be 7 years of plenty. They were going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And so once he made Joseph, he put him in charge of this. He said, "You take care of this problem. You go out." And Joseph did. He went out and he worked with the people and they stored up goods for 7 years. They stored up goods in a number of places all around Egypt so that they would be prepared for the famine. And guess what happened? The famine came. Then the 7 years of plenty which were in the land of Egypt ended, and the 7 years of famine began to come, as Joseph had said, and the famine was in all the lands. So the famine was throughout all of the lands, and it was a very severe famine. I don't know when a famine starts and when it becomes severe, but I can imagine after 7 years of famine how bad things were. Okay, imagine we couldn't grow something around here for 7 years. Yeah, it was severe. And that famine extended into Canaan. And remember, Joseph's family was still in Canaan. His dad was there and his brothers were all there. And even Acts in chapter 7 refers to this. It says, "A famine and a great trouble came over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers found no sustenance." So it was a widespread famine, severe famine, widespread famine. But there was a solution, right? Joseph had prepared. It's just the grain that was found, to be found in Egypt was immeasurable. They had so much grain there, ready for this famine. So he opened the storehouses and he sold to the Egyptians and they sold to all the countries around. In Genesis 41:57, so all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain. God had caused the famine, but God had given them the sustenance that they needed. But what about those people in Canaan? What would you do if you were in Canaan and you were part of the famine? Right? You were experiencing this famine. I think these first two verses in Genesis chapter 42, I've read these a number of times and I thought about this a lot. And Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. He said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another? Behold, I've heard there's grain in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there that we may live and not die." So there's a father here with his sons. These aren't young sons. These are grown men, remember. And they're not dumb. They were pretty clever and conniving to get rid of Joseph in the first place. But they're experiencing this famine. And what does their dad say they're doing? They're looking at each other. Why are you just looking at each other? Why do you stare at each other? Right? Go down to Egypt and get us some grain. Buy us grain. So that we might what? We might live and not die. It's serious. So there's a number of possible lessons that we could talk about. We could talk about the providence of God. I mentioned that, how God caused the famine and it affected his people in Canaan, but yet, it's just one piece or portion of the providence of God throughout the whole story of Joseph. But he prepared for that and he was able to take care of his people in Canaan, right? We could talk about that. We could talk about how doing nothing is not a solution. There was a serious problem. Looking at each other, staring at each other, waiting on somebody else to step up. That's not going to solve anything. We can talk about Jacob and his leadership. And his leadership as the father. He brought them together. They were looking at, and he said, "Okay, my family's not going to do it. I got to do it." He stepped up and he was the leader. Leadership's important, right? Leadership's important in the church. God has established leadership in the church. And even when we're together and we don't have leadership, things need to be done sometimes. And people have to just step up and do those things. We're talking about the vision and the actions of Jacob. And that's where I want to spend some time tonight. All right. So, Jacob's vision. What did the brothers do? The brothers looked at each other. They were internally focused. I can't imagine what they were thinking. When they knew the problems that they had and they just looked at each other. But then Jacob looked around. What did Jacob see? He said all these other countries were going to Egypt. They were all going to Egypt and they were buying grain. And Jacob saw it. He saw it and immediately he knew the severity of the plan. He saw a solution. He came up with a plan. His plan was pretty simple. Go to Egypt, get us grain. But he came up with that plan. All right. He had vision and he looked around. Rather than looking at each other, he looked around and he saw what was happening. Okay. Did he look and see that there was grain in Egypt? No, he couldn't see Egypt. But he saw a solution. He saw what other people were doing, and he said, "That'll work for me. That'll work for us. We can do the same thing." So I want to change a little bit and talk about vision. And talk about vision in our lives and how important vision is for us. You know, there's nothing that's ever been built. And there's no plan that was ever developed without somebody somewhere being able to see the end result. And they saw it before it started. Creators and designers and architects and inventors, all these people are visionaries and they see things in the future. They see what it can be. And so those things that we have and the plans that we have started with a vision, someone's vision. Vision's important to us because it really helps us to make the plans for our lives, where we go and what we do. If we don't have vision and we can't see into tomorrow and we can't see into the future, then we just wander about. We wander about aimlessly. And as we wander around, we make mistakes and we repeat those mistakes and we don't learn from them. And and there may be simple answers. There may be things that are right in front of us that we just don't see sometimes. And just like vision's important to our regular lives, vision is critically important to our spiritual lives. Spiritual vision is important for our safety. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It's not a word we use. It means you walk and you look around and you're aware of what's going on around you. You see danger. You're wary, so you don't get caught up in it. You're careful. You're careful in what you do and where you go and what you say, because you're walking and you see things happening around you. Think about the deer. You ever seen a deer? You ever see a deer in the woods eating? The deer eats, head comes up, looks around. Right? He goes back down, comes up, looks around. I don't know how they eat so much, how they can get enough to eat, because they're always, their head's up and they're looking around like that. There are a lot of things that are going around, a lot of danger that's going on around us, okay? And a lot of this stuff comes in and it creeps in and we don't see it, because then we're not walking circumspectly. We're not looking around. We don't have eyes to see what is going on. And then before we know it, we get caught up in it. We don't even realize and understand how it happens. Okay? Spiritual vision is needed for focus. Philippians 3, verse 13. I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Cecil talked last month about focus and our focus in our spiritual lives and remaining focused, how critical it is so that we have focus on what we're doing and that we get rid of all the extraneous things so that we can focus on our spiritual life and what we should be doing. It helps us, you know, Paul says here that he forgets the past. Paul had a terrible past that he forgot. But Paul did some wonderful things too. And I think he forgot those as well. So he forgot the bad things and moved ahead. He forgot all the good things that he did and he moved ahead. Right? So he continued to look forward. And looking forward gives us motivation, gives us direction, helps us know where we're going. Spiritual vision is important to us for endurance. We know Jesus Christ himself had spiritual vision. He said, Jesus, or Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. Whether that was understanding what the world would be like after his death, or whether it was returning to be with his Father, whatever joy that it was that he saw in the future, that's what helped him endure the cross. He endured more than we'll ever be called on to endure. But we have a spiritual joy that's set before us as well. And we can remain focused and we can see that, then we can endure these things in our lives. We can have an expectation. We can expect a better future. Stephen talked about it in his sermon this morning when we were talking about suicide and not being able to see past today. You know, we're promised a better future. It may not happen in this life, but we're promised that and it will happen. Spiritual vision. Seeing it before you see it, so you will see it. Right? Seeing it before you see it, so you will see it. We've studied Hebrews recently in Hebrews chapter 11. I think it's very interesting, these verses that we put together. So we talk about faith, and faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is related to things that we don't see. Right? That's when we talk about faith. We have faith. We haven't seen it, but we have faith. And it says, Abel, Enoch, Noah, others, they acted by faith. They did things, even though they didn't see the result. They didn't know what the result was going to be. They had faith, and they acted. And then Hebrews 11, verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received their promises, but having seen them afar off. So which was it? Did they see them, or did they not see them? They had faith, things that they didn't see, but then it says they died in faith, having seen them afar off. So how can they do both? So they had faith. The question is, how do they do it? Like Moses did it. Verse 27 says that Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. When Moses left Egypt, and he left and he went out on his own, and he left the kingdom where he was raised, he didn't know what was going to happen. He couldn't predict his future. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't see that. But he had faith to leave Egypt and to go, because he saw who? He saw God. He saw him who is invisible, and he knew that God was in control. So our spiritual vision, we may not know what tomorrow is. We may not be able to see our lives and what's going to happen tomorrow, in the future, you know, next week, whenever. But we can see God, and we can move ahead, understanding that God is in control. Sometimes we're not so good with our vision. Sometimes we're spiritually blind. There are a number of reasons why we might be spiritually blind. Sometimes we're just stubborn. You know, the Pharisees were just stubborn. They didn't want to give up their way of life. They didn't want to give up what they had learned. Jesus calls them, Stephen calls them, you stiff-necked individuals. They were just stiff-necked. They didn't want to move. Immovable. Yeah, no, I'm just stubborn. Sometimes we can be bitter and resentful. Maybe somebody said something to us or did something to us, or there's something out there that just makes us bitter and resentful, and we filter everything through that lens of being upset, and it blurs our vision. We can't see. Sometimes we're just selfish. We just spend all the time looking inward, looking at ourselves, thinking about ourselves, what's good for us, what's good for me. We're not looking out. We're not looking for others. We're not looking to see what we can do. We're not looking further down the road necessarily. Sometimes we're willfully ignorant. I think there's a verse in Psalm 119. And one of the translations says, Lord, help me not lie to myself. Okay? Teach me to not lie to myself. And sometimes we're just simply not honest with ourselves, right? We can be blind to the truth. We can be blind to what's really going on because we lie to ourselves. And we're not really truthful with ourselves. And we'll talk more about that. And then, of course, there are blind leaders. There are people who blindly follow blind leaders. Nobody's looking. Everybody's blind. And so there are reasons and times when we might be spiritually blind and we can't see the future. We can't see where we need to be going or what we need to be doing. Psalm 115 says, eyes they have, but they do not see. And Jeremiah chapter 5 quotes the Lord, and he says, without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not, do you not fear me? Says the Lord. Right? We're blind. We lose sight of who the Lord is, and we don't fear the Lord. And that's the reason why I've owned it. That's the reason why people can hear biblical truth. Right. Spiritual blindness is the reason people can hear biblical truth and still make excuses for where they are and who they are, for their sin, for their rebellion. Yeah, I know what it says, but they're spiritually blind and they don't understand what it means to them. So to get back to our story a little bit about Jacob and his sons. Jacob saw there was grain in Egypt, and immediately he had a plan. The plan was go to Egypt, buy us grain. That was what was going to make their lives different than what they were. And it's the same for us. If we want a different future, we're going to talk more about that. If we want a different future, then we need to see that future. We need to see the future, and we need to have a plan to make that future real. There are a lot of books out there about goal setting and how you reach your goals and, you know, the way to go about doing things. I'm going to boil it down. I 3 points for us tonight. I think you need to understand the starting point, the pathway, and the destination. Which one do you start with? Maybe you say the starting point. Say no. You start with the destination. If you have vision, then vision kind of gives you your destination. Right? What do I mean by that? Where are you spiritually? What can you improve? What do you want to do? Who do you want to be? If you look out 4 years, 5 years from now, a year from now, whatever the time frame is, you can have a vision of who you want to be and what you want to accomplish. Okay? It could be somebody you want to become, goals that you want to achieve. And from a spiritual standpoint, you can say, well, I want to be more hospitable, or I want to be more studious, or I want to be more of this and more of that. I say be specific, because more and better really aren't achievable. Okay, no matter where you find yourself, you can always be more. You don't know when you got to more yet. Okay? Be specific, be realistic. And don't get stuck on the how. Don't get stuck on how I'm going to do there. Let's start by having vision and looking to see where I'm going to be, what I want to be, what I'm going to improve, and be specific in that. New scripture, if you don't really know what you need to do, look at your scripture, Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, learn that you want to be more gentle. Specifically, how am I going to be gentle, right? Or Philippians 4, think on these things. Those are things that can guide us into who we need to be and what we need to be. So define your destination. And then you go back to the starting point. I would say when you go into a mall, but I don't guess anybody goes into malls anymore, huh? If you're at Disney World or you're somewhere and you walk up to a big directory, the airport, they have them. You walk up to a directory and you look and you say, you know, you look for where you want to go. That's where I want to go. And what's the next thing you look for? The big red, you are here sign. You got to figure out where you are. There's a lot that's said in the scripture about personal evaluation and being honest with yourself. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Examine our ways and test them. Let us examine our ways and test them. I've considered my ways and I've turned my steps to your statutes. It's one thing to know where you want to go, but you can't lie to yourself about where you really are. You need to do personal reflection, personal evaluation, and you have to know exactly where you are. Think about your GPS, right? On both of these, the destination and the origination of where you are. What if you told your GPS, just, you know, I just want to get close to work. Closer to work. Well, you know, you could go a block away. That's closer to work. But you're not specific with the destination, so you don't know. All right? And what if your GPS didn't know where you were? What if you had no real starting spot there? Yeah, you're kind of in this area and you kind of go to that, you know. It just doesn't work that way, does it? And very specific to that. And we have to be specific with ourselves. We have to be honest and true with ourselves of where we are. Okay? And after you have that, after you have your beginning and your ending, then you connect the pathway. You put this pathway together. You think about the pathway. You spend time trying to understand, how am I going to get from where I am today to where I want to be? From here to there. It's from now to then. Okay? Recognize the commitment that it's going to take. You get options on your GPS. You can go the fastest way. You can go with no tolls. Sometimes you can pick the way that just takes you over the mountains and around the mountains. You know? Understand which direction which pathway you're going to take. If you set a lofty goal, you want a lot of improvement, yeah, maybe sometimes it's going to require you to go over the mountain. Understand that. Understand it up front. If you're not ready for that, then you recognize the commitment that it's going to take. You're not ready. Set an intermediate goal. But organize this stuff. Go step by step. What if you had every third step on your GPS? It doesn't help. You got to go step by step and have a reasonable expectation. Okay, the Bible talks a lot about hope. And one of the elements of hope that's required to have real hope is a reasonable expectation. Okay? You have to have a reasonable expectation that something is going to happen or that you will receive something before you really have hope in that. If not, it's just a wish. Okay? Some of you may have wished for a pony, but you didn't really hope for one. You had no real expectation that you were going to get a pony. All right? Heaven is part of the beauty of what Jesus did in his resurrection, proved he owned eternal life. It was his then to give to anyone else, and that gives us hope. We have a reasonable expectation that we can do that. So it's the same thing in our goal. Be reasonable with yourself, reasonable expectation that you will have success. And then once you have that defined pathway, that will help you overcome indecisiveness, right? So if you're moving forward and you're moving along your pathway, and you really find yourself floundering one day, it's like, why? I don't know what to do. I'm not sure. Well, you know, go back. Go back and get on the path. Go back and you've already decided what you want to do and how you want to do it. Go back to that and do it. Okay. So we've got our beginning, we've got our destination, we've got our pathway, and all of that's good. But until you do something, all of that's just a dream. Vision without execution is just a dream. Action without vision is wasteful effort. We can spend a lot of time thinking, but if we don't do anything, it's just wasted effort. It's just a dream. We don't need dreams. We need action. The plan must be executed. Jacob had a solution. There's grain down in Egypt. But somebody had to go. Somebody had to go get the grain. The real plan was go down there, buy grain, and bring it back. You need to let the Lord direct your steps. Every step that we take is by the grace of God. Let Him direct our steps. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So what do we have to do? We have to make sure that our steps and our plan are in line with God's plan for us. And then work. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Colossians 3. You need to work. You can't just have a plan. You can't just start down it, but it takes some effort. It takes some work. But we've all got to be better in the future than we are today. We all need to be growing spiritually in our lives. And we need to do more than just think, yeah, I need to do that. I need to grow. I need to be more studious. I need to learn the Bible more. I need to pray more. I need to be with other people more. I need to be, you know, so whatever it is in your life, whatever goal that you have, whoever you think you need to be or want to be in the future, be specific with it and work toward it. Don't become discouraged. As long as we're walking along with God, it says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The Lord will pick us up. He'll help us on our way. If we're walking with him and walking toward him, he'll help us. We can be encouraged by that. We can be encouraged by our walk. If we are discouraged, if we fall down, step back up. Get back up. Keep going. So the questions for us tonight as we close are just real simple. What do you need to do? How do you need to grow? Who do you need to be in the future? Is there a difficulty you're trying to overcome? Are you growing spiritually like you should? What are you doing about it? Do you have a plan? Did you plan something but then abandon the plan? Are you sticking to your plan? Are you discouraged? Do you need help? Are there things we can do for you? James 1, he says, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He said, he gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's the old version, I'm sorry, that's what I memorized. But he gives to all men liberally. Okay, he gives wisdom. He's waiting for us to ask for wisdom. He gives wisdom liberally. He doesn't pinch it little by little. This is okay, I've given you some. And he says, he upbraideth not. He doesn't take the bag of wisdom and tie it off and say, nope. I've already given you all I'm going to give you. No. He's very liberal in what he wants to do for us. And all we have to do is go to him and ask. Stephen talked this morning about the assistance, the help that we get from our Christian family here. You got brothers and sisters that care for you and love you. You're trying to overcome a difficulty and you don't know what to do. Look for help here. Go to God first. Ask Him for wisdom, but lean on the people here. All right, it's not so easy to do sometimes, but it's the plan that God has for us, and how we work together, and how we live together, and how we love together, and how we help each other get to heaven. That's really all I have for us tonight. But I encourage you, if there's something that we can do or something that we can help you with tonight, whether you want to begin your walk or whether you want to re-engage your walk or whether you need encouragement in your walk, if you'll let us know how we can help you, we'd be happy to do that for you tonight. Let's stand and sing now.